Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey guys, this is Mike Medano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks.
Hello guys, welcome to the Sarcastic Remarks Studios. Welcome to episode 5 of the 2022 off season. We have a lot to talk to you guys about today, but before we get into anything else, we want to thank our sponsor DraftKings for being our sponsor for our podcast, this episode, and the entirety of THPN. Before we get started tonight, we want to say a couple of sad things that happened across just hockey in general today. The Stars Twitter account released today that Brynn, who was fighting cancer, she unfortunately passed away. I don't know when it was, but fairly recently. And we just want to say, our thoughts are out there for Brynn and her family, and we're praying for her. And then, today was absolutely crazy when it came to news. And another thing that came out was Brian Marchment, former NHL player, really big player, and he was actually a scout for the San Jose Sharks, passed away suddenly in Montreal with the draft tomorrow. So that was another big thing that happened. So prayers out to him. His son, Mason, who actually plays for the currently for the Florida Panthers, and the entire Marchment family. But just want to give a couple of greetings out there to those people and saying sorry to them and praying for their families. But we have a giant packed show here for you guys today. We have a huge lineup. We have Chris, we have James, but we also have a lot of huge guests over here to your right. So second over there is Josh Sanders, and third is Sam Morales. They're both admins of the Jake Ottinger Fan Club and Hockey Talk group on Facebook. And they're going to help Chris, James, and I kind of figure out who the Stars are going to take in the NHL draft tomorrow. That's going to be a huge point of topic today. But first, I just want to say, how you guys doing? Y'all doing okay?
Ah, Sam, you said my name first.
Whatever. I'm going to be more entertaining, so I could care less.
Probably true. That's probably true. No. Doing good. Glad to be on the show. Always enjoy shooting these with you guys, so happy to be back and talk hockey.
Yep. Ryan, good to see you again. Feel like, second time in a week, and then possibly talk to you again tomorrow. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's
good
true.
To see you.
Yeah. It's three times in one week. It's kind of weird.
It's gonna be a good week.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long week though. But yeah. All right. But anyways, Chris and James, how are you guys doing? Y'all are kind of quiet over there.
I'm great. I'm caffeinated. I'm drugged, and I got a box full of tissues. It's a great evening.
What? Okay, drugged with the good stuff. Okay, not illegal stuff. Benadryl. Okay, I'm just gonna need to point that out real quick. Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you for clarifying. Well, all right. So anyways, guys, I sent you all an outline about what we were going to talk about tonight yesterday. And within a day, it's like already outdated, like Josh was saying just off camera here. But we're still going to try and go through it. We're going to try to add some of the stuff that's been in since then. And we'll kind of piggyback on that, and we'll just see where this takes us. Chris says he may just pass out on camera, or he may just go crazy. So hopefully it goes crazy, because that'd be absolutely hilarious.
But, I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. It'd
be enjoyable for me.
But we're going to talk a little bit about the whole Ivan Fedotov and Kirill Kaprizov situation, because obviously, I mean, we have to talk about it, unfortunately. And we'll get into how that involves some Dallas Stars players. We'll talk a little bit about Austin Matthews, and there's some people that saying he's already the greatest American ever. Okay, pump the brakes on that. And there's an obvious reason why I want to talk about that, because we have the claim to that as Stars fans. There was an interesting David Pagnotta tweet. He's of the fourth period, and he tweeted about the Stars going after a top six winger. So that was interesting. We may spend some time on that a little bit. And then we'll obviously get into the draft a little bit, and then we'll end with our Who Cares segment, which I think is really interesting because I came up with it. But Chris and James, you know, normally they're like, you know, we don't like your ideas. But last week was my idea too, and I thought it was a good one. It was the whole Taco Bell thing. So we'll All see right. how the Who Cares segment goes.
All right, Ryan. Slow down with that confidence, man.
Slow down? I got all the confidence in the world, dude.
The night is young.
All right, so... And by the way, you guys jump in whenever y'all have something to say, because this beginning part is going to be a lot of me monologuing, because there's a lot of background to this story. So let's get into what's happened the past 2 days. It's literally been 2 days that this has expanded. For those of you that don't know, it started with Ivan Fedotov. Ivan Fedotov is a 25-year-old. He's a prospect. He's a goalie. And he just recently signed his entry-level deal into the NHL at the beginning of May. So if you want even more background on it, I highly suggest you go and listen to the Monday episode of the Steve Dangle podcast. They did an excellent job breaking it down and explaining the situation. But I'm just going to go long story short here. When you play for the team that he's currently playing for, CSKA Moscow, you're technically a member of the army, and that can count towards your service in the Russian military. Every Russian man is required to spend 2 years in the military at the very least. So he's only played for 1 year for CSKA Moscow. So when they signed when he signed his deal to come over and play in North America next season, they viewed that as draft dodging, even though he wasn't draft dodging. He said he was going to come back and finish it another year. But before all of this happened, it started with, you know, CSKA Moscow came to him and said, hey, we really want you to stay here for another year. He said no. They came back to him again and said, hey, we really want you to stay here another year. Here's more money. He still said no. So what they decided to do, and this has you-know-who's hands all over it, I'm not even going to say his name on the internet, but he was arrested for draft dodging. Let me rephrase that. He was abducted for draft dodging. He was arrested, and then he received injections, which the Russian doctors called medicine, and he became really sick. He was sent to the hospital because of this so-called medicine, and then just basically disappeared off the face of the planet now. He was not allowed to speak to his agent. He was not allowed to speak to his parents or anything like that. And then because he was arrested, instead of being arrested, he is now being sent to the Arctic Circle, where he will be there for a year. So, I mean, this has you-know-whose hands all over it. I feel like I'm talking about Lord Voldemort right now about all of this. But
he looks kind of like Voldemort.
He does kind of look like Voldemort in a way. Tomato, tomato. But But that's the whole story from yesterday, and that was just yesterday. I mean, thoughts about that story, you guys, because I thought it was insane.
And that's causing all of the other Russian players to be at risk now, too, of being stuck in Russia. I saw apparently Kaprizov, as soon as he found out about it, flew straight to the United States from Russia to try and get away from it. So
Russo, who covers the Wild, put out a conflicting report on that, saying, or Garen basically said that he's still in Bill Garen said he's still in Russia.
At
this time. But I mean, who knows if that's entirely true or not, or if they're just trying to kind of, you know, keep Kaprizov out of the eye of you know who.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, another thing you got to think about with these players too, obviously, you know, common, you know, immediate reaction would be like, oh, they just need to come to North America and, you know, be done with it. But a lot of these players have families and things like that. And if you look at how the whole Artemi Panarin situation played out a year ago, I mean, a lot of these players aren't just going to up and leave their families in a place like that. So there's a lot more to it than just, you know, just the hockey player himself. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how the next, you know, this offseason plays out.
Right. And one of the other things that I really thought about was, you know, I put myself in the shoes of some of these players. And it's like, if I was a Russian and I was being, you know, basically, I mean, what's the word I'm thinking of? Forced, I guess, to stay in Russia the way that it seems like, you know, who is trying to keep there. He's trying to hold on to these players. I mean, I wouldn't try to just ditch my family or anything like that. No matter what they tried to do, I would not. I would try to take care of my family first. So, you know, there were some people out there that were like, "Oh, they just need to defect to the United States and just bring their family." It's not that easy. I'm trying to remember back in the 80s. I think Pavel Bure was one of the first ones that like truly defected from the USSR to the United States. And that whole thing of getting him, his family, and all of that over was a complete fiasco. So if you haven't read a story about Pavel Bure and how he came over to the NHL, I highly recommend you go and look it up because it's insane. So,
how did most of these players get out of that service in the first place, I guess? That's what I'm confused about, is I've heard conflicting reports as to whether playing for the team counts as their service, or if whenever they play in the NHL, it gets deferred, or how that process works. Do you have any idea about that?
So I've done a lot of research on this, and, you know, obviously we think about what about the big players like Alexander Ovechkin, for example? How come he's not, you know, in that same realm as Ivan Fedotov? And it really is the fact of he's a big name. And the other thing that you can do, and they won't admit this publicly, obviously, but you can pay off your service. So Russians can pay off their 2 years of service, and then they won't have a warrant out for their arrest or anything like that. So, and that's obviously dodgy and under the table as well. So it's based, for lack of a better term, it's a bribe to the Russian government saying, "Hey, we won't have you arrested." So. But that I just thought that whole situation was crazy. Y'all have any other thoughts about that before we move on to what happened today?
Yeah, well, it's gonna impact free agency. It's gonna impact drafts for all Russian players, which is unfortunate for them. But it's a thing to think about while we're going through the off season.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that it's gonna take a hit, especially on Russian prospects, unfortunately. Not saying it's going to push them out of the draft altogether, but I think it'll push them down a few spots just because there's that extra layer of risk now that teams are taking by drafting them, whether it's a year or 2 years of selected service, or, you know, whether or not they'll even be able to come over to the United States at all at this point. I think it's something that's – I don't think a GM's going to come out right and say that that's on their mind, but it's on every GM's mind right now.
And, you know, one other thing that I'm actually backing up the NHL on this, you know, some people are saying, well, why doesn't the NHL just, you know, step up for their players and stuff like that? And the thing is like, I mean, don't you think that if a North American company comes out and says, you know, we're against Russia 100%, and I mean, they condemned the war in Ukraine, but, you know, the whole thing about, you know, them being the way they are, that if they come out like that, it really puts more Russian NHL players' families at jeopardy. So it's just more about the families. So, and then, so I guess I'll go ahead and get into what happened today. So Kirill Kaprizov, who is arguably one of the biggest younger stars in the NHL right now, very flashy Minnesota Wild forward. So today he was accused of something with military IDs, whether it's like fake, he's like selling fake IDs or making these fake IDs or accepting them or something. And now he is apparently a wanted man in Russia. So now he's somewhere. At the beginning of the day, it said that he had left Russia and was fleeing for the United States. And then Michael Russo, who is the Athletic, who works for the Athletic as the Minnesota Wild beat reporter, came out and said, no, that's not true. He's Bill Guerin said that he's not here in the United States right now. He's still in Russia. So wherever he is, I hope he's safe, because I guess the Russian authorities are looking for him. I really don't know. But some people were saying that this story was fabricated and this wasn't true. But I mean, there's got to be something to this. Do you guys think that that's all true?
I think there's some semblance of truth to it. I'm still not entirely convinced that he's not in the United States right now. But at the same time, like we talked about earlier, if he's got family over there, it would make sense for him to still be there as well. So I'm not entirely sure what's true and what's not. But the fact that this was even brought up, I think that there's some element of truth somewhere in the story. It's just a matter of what's true and what's not that I'm not entirely sure on right now.
The whole military ID thing doesn't make much sense to me personally. It's you have millions and millions on the line. Why would you, and regardless of how we feel about Russia, creating counterfeit military IDs, like that just sounds odd to me. So I don't really know what to make of it other than, like I said, it's Russia. Anything can happen. There could be a bunch of different stories in play here. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I hope he's safe. I hope his family's safe. Mm-hmm. But until more information comes out, the Kaprizov stuff especially, I honestly have no idea what's going on there. It's the whole situation is just very odd. It doesn't make much sense. The more you hear about it, the less it makes sense. So
yeah. Right.
And I think people need to make sure that whatever they're seeing on Twitter and stuff like that, take it with a grain of salt. I mean, you're going to have parties on both sides of this trying to lead with breaking news and stuff like that, that may not be entirely accurate. So if you see something come from, a respected reporter or something like that, that's one thing, but you're going to see a lot of people making up rumors about this stuff over the next few weeks. So just kind of be cautious about what you believe and what you don't.
Yeah. 100% there. With the whole military ID thing, Sam, I really think it's just because it's illegal. It's illegal to in Russia to recreate military IDs. And I think they're just trying to find, something to pin on these players. I really think it's
a millionaire hockey player do that.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense why he would even do that. And Kaprizov's dad actually even came out and said, that's a bunch of crap. That's not true. He didn't do any of that. So at least someone is sticking up, but hopefully everything with this whole situation is okay. Now, the main reason why I bring this up on a Stars podcast is because there was a tweet that came out just yesterday that involved two NHL or, well, two Dallas Stars players / prospects, right? So this was a tweet that we found, and this is – I'm just going to read it straight from the source. It said, the source told RIA Novosti – RIA is the – Russian government run news organization, that other former CSKA hockey players who have decided to move to the NHL may be drafted into the army. The army owns the right to many young players who are now playing abroad, and if they don't officially resolve the issue with the military enlistment office, then such players as Igor Afanasyev, I'm probably saying his name wrong, Artem Grushnikov, Ilya Sorokin, Denis Gurionov, and Dmitry Samarukov could face the same problems that Ivan Fedotov did. So on that list, three should be fairly familiar to many NHL fans, and two should be pretty particular to Stars fans in Artem Grushnikov and Denis Gurionov. So, I mean, that's kind of scary in the fact that, these guys could possibly go through the same thing that, Kirill Kaprizov is dealing with, Artemi Panarin dealt with last year or the year before. and the fact that Ivan Fedotov is dealing with it right now. So I did reach out to a couple of sources, and I don't want to say what I know, but what I can tell you is that right now that they're both safe from what I've been told. So that's the good news. But what are y'all's thoughts about this whole situation? Do you think this affects Denis Kiryanov? Is he even going to be able to play for the Stars this upcoming season? Because there's a lot of people that are even saying that.
I mean, if he's out for the season, I think I'm not sure contractually how all that works, because he's on a one-year deal. But if you get drafted for military service, I have no idea if that counts against your contract or if it kind of just rolls over. No idea how that process works, but you know, if that were to happen, I love Kiryanov. I'll come save him myself.
We'll all come save him.
Exactly. Just glad to hear that, you know, he's all right now, and hope he stays that way. I'm not going to try to butcher our prospect's name, because I think you did a much better job.
Grushnikov. Awesome last
name. That sounded right.
You say it with enough conviction, people will believe you.
I hope he's doing well, just as well, because we definitely need guys like him in the pipeline. But, you know, personal matters come first. So just wishing them both the best, and that's all.
I would imagine he's still up in North America somewhere too. I mean, they just got done with the Memorial Cup, not what, 2 weeks ago. So I mean, unless he hopped on a plane immediately after that and went back to Russia, I gotta believe he's still here somewhere, whether it's in Canada or something like that. I mean, again, like I said, I have no inclination on this whatsoever. He very well could be in Russia, but right. I mean, Kiryanov, he could be in 9 different countries right now. I have no clue. But
I saw him in the Maldives the other day on Instagram
2 weeks ago. What was that?
I saw him in the Maldives the other day on Instagram. So
yeah.
Now, here's what I can say, and this literally came out on Twitter about 30 minutes ago. This is straight from Saudi Youssef, so it's a credible source. And he's quoting Jim Nill. Jim Nill said, Denis Kiryanov is already back in Russia. Stars Russian prospect Artem Grushnikov played in the Memorial Cup, like you said, Josh, and, quote, is being very careful with what he does. Nill said the Russians probably know better on how to handle than anybody else. NHL only knows what's public info. So, I mean, so the NHL is as much in the dark about Ivan Fedotov and, you know, this whole situation with Kaprizov as the rest of the hockey world is. So hopefully Grushnikov is okay. He's doing okay out there. I would assume he's in North America. There's probably a reason why it's not mentioned where he is.
Right.
And with Kiryanov, I don't know how he's going to get back to the to North America, because the only way that Russian players were able to get home is because, you know, all the flights from the North America are not going to Russia because of the war. So they had to fly to either Croatia, Turkey, or Dubai, UAE, in order to get home. So lots of different connecting flights and crazy things. So it's just a crazy situation, guys. And hopefully this doesn't last much longer. But and I got one more question to kind of put a bow on this. And I don't know how you guys feel about this. And I want to hear from each of you guys how you feel about it, because I have a personal opinion on this too. The IIHF actually just recently upheld the ban on Russian and Belarusian teams playing in these foreign in their tournaments, basically. There are other sports that are not allowing individual sports that are not allowing Russian players to come in. Like, for example, Wimbledon, the big tennis tournament in England, they're not allowing any Russian or Belarusian players in their tournament this year. How do y'all feel about that whole situation? Because it's a big topic of contention when it comes to Stars fans and hockey fans in general.
Yeah, I think since the IIHF stuff is state-sponsored, like the Russian team would be sponsored by the Russian government, that's why they would be banned. But like individual players getting paid should not cause ban like we have in the NHL. So that's where the line is drawn, in my opinion, is if it's state-sponsored and the state gets credit for stuff, it shouldn't be allowed. But if it's individual, then that should be okay.
I agree with that. I got no issues seeing players from Russia play in those kind of tournaments. My issue is them essentially representing Russia. I got no issues with you banning Russia or something like that. Have them play for, you know, Team B or whatever. Whatever you want to name the team that they're representing. I agree that the state sponsored teams from Russia and Belarus should not be a part of this tournament. But I also don't like essentially banning the players that really had nothing to do with this ongoing war. So strip them of, you know, the country that they play for at these tournaments, but I still think that they should be eligible to play, I guess, for lack of a better term, if that makes any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. I personally don't have a strong preference on it one way or another. I know at the Olympics, we had like individual athletes from Russia as opposed to like the Russian Federation, like team. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew that they were Russian. Whenever they won, like, I actually don't think that they played the Russian anthem, but they still, everyone knew that they were Russian. So with a team sport, I don't know if you can necessarily do that as easily as other teams or as individual competitions like in the Olympics. But I don't know. For me, I get what y'all are saying about it's a state-sponsored organization, but at the same time, there are plenty of governments that I'm not too fond of, and I would need to look at the International Federation to get the full list. But, you know, there's plenty of governments that I'm not a big fan of, but they aren't restricted from international participation in events, the UN, and a whole host of other things. So, yes, do I think what's going on in Ukraine is atrocious and terrible? Absolutely. But I'm not sure what is accomplished by restricting Russian athletes other than allowing he who we're not mentioning in this podcast.
He who must not be named.
Yeah. to kind of even consolidate more power internally because they're getting no support externally. So that kind of naturally causes a consolidation of power, I guess. So I am cautious of that. I don't know. I'm not a master in geopolitical stuff, but
yeah,
I am cautious about that piece at least. So that's I'm kind of split on it. I see both sides of it. Yeah.
I know for one thing, I know that esports has already done this when Russia first declared war on Ukraine, and they had a bunch of Russian organizations that were banned from tournaments, and with esports, you're able to just go to a different organization that's sponsored by someone else, but it's a little bit different when you have to be there physically and you're playing in person. So,
And the only thing that I don't like about some of the stuff that's going on is like, I believe this is in the CHL. So the major junior leagues in Canada, they're not allowing any Russian players to be drafted into their leagues this year. And that's where I kind of have a problem with a little bit because it's not their fault that they're Russian. They were born there. It's mm-hmm. just that there's a crazy madman who's running their country and doing the things that he's doing. I agree with you that there needs to be a line drawn right there. Cause I think that's too far. And that's why I don't like what Wimbledon did. Because, I mean, there are some big-name Russian players, Russian tennis stars, who are not at Wimbledon because of the fact that they banned them. And I just think that's too much. I mean, you don't have to mention Russia in any broadcast, take away their flag next to the little name on the TV broadcast. I'm all for that. But completely banning them from, you know, competing, I just think that's wrong. That's just my opinion. Anything else, guys, before we jump into the next topic? Because I think that we did a due justice there.
Sam did touch on one thing that's interesting to me, though, and this is just going to be quick. And obviously, the most important thing is these players and their safety and their family safety. But from an NHL perspective, what does it do to contracts? Do these contracts get pushed back if they don't play this year? Or I'm curious to see how that all works. And I don't even think the NHL has that answer right now. I think they're kind of waiting to see how it plays out. But just something that I'll be keeping an eye on. As this whole situation unfolds.
Didn't Alexander Radulov's contract, when he went back to the KHL, didn't the Canadians like retain his rights until he came back for sure.
I believe it was
time.
The Predators, but yeah, I believe they retained his rights when he came back and they traded him to Montreal, is my understanding.
So I think something like that is most likely, but who the heck knows? Because they're not going back to the KHL. It's not their choice either. So why should they be punished for that too? So it'll be weird. The NHL will have to make a decision on that.
Well, and then here's the other thing about that is what does that do to the cap hits? Because I mean, for example, if Alexander Radulov is not allowed to come to the United States, and we haven't even talked about work visas. I mean, we don't even know if they're going to be allowed to work in the United States because they're Russian. They just kind of played last year because the United States and Canada governments were just kind of like, COVID happened and crazy things went on. Just it's an exemption. Go play and just make your money, and we'll get back to you. So I mean, this is the time to get back to him. Yeah, and
a lot of questions.
Now it's at an even worse time than it was, during the pandemic. So we'll have to see how it goes. What I've seen about the contract situations, you guys, is basically that the contract will be terminated. So the players won't get their money and the contract will just be gone and done away with. And then there will be cap space available for those teams. That's just what I've seen. I don't know if that will be the solution that the NHL goes with. That's just a side note there, but
makes sense.
Okay. Anyways, let's get into more fun stuff to talk about because that sucked. This one pissed me off. We're not a Toronto podcast at all, but we have to talk about it because they tiptoed over a line that's completely wrong, and I'm pissed off about it. So we're gonna talk about it. Sportsnet put out a tweet, I think a couple of days ago, and it was a picture of Austin Matthews, and it said, "Is Austin Matthews the greatest American-born player, keyword, ever? And I just want to know your thoughts on that, because I have a very long-winded answer that I will make short while y'all talk, and I'll come up with a shorter discussion about it. What do y'all think?
Classic Sportsnet. I think he's definitely on that path right now, but yeah, it's a little early.
From I'll say the hot take. From a current skill perspective, I think he's the best goal scorer that has played being born in the United States country. I don't obviously he hasn't had the best career yet. He's only been playing six seasons. He's not the best he's not the greatest American born player of all time. He's just not there yet. Full career, we'll have that conversation. But I think he has more scoring ability today than any American born forward has had. That's where I'll sit with that.
Sure.
I can – that'd be an interesting discussion. I would be open to having that discussion about goal-scoring potential. My main thing is, for a career, he doesn't even have a cup yet. Like, regardless of – cups and –
Playoff series win.
Three
cups.
and don't get me wrong. I'm not a big fan of judging players by cups and championships, because sometimes – I know there's a couple of players who have, six cups, and they were just role players on a bunch of different teams. Mm-hmm. There you go. I didn't want to drop names, but so for me, it's like he has to, like I said, make it out of the playoffs, win a cup. There's at least three names I'm thinking of, and I'll let everyone finish before we get into specific names. But I can think of
seven.
Okay, well, I have the big three, basically, for American players, for myself, at least, that I think of. And so,
are we including Brett Hall in this list? Because he is Canadian. No, I mean, he represents America, but he's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian. I don't count Brett Hall in that.
All right.
But, I mean, could he get there one day? Sure. Can he also, not? Absolutely. Can he live in Toronto for the rest of his career? And, Toronto is cursed, so nothing ever happens? Sure, that could happen too. Talent wise, I think he has the potential to do it. It's just a matter of can the team get it done, and how long is his career going to be? Because
hot take,
these guys played for forever.
He ends up in Arizona for the 24-25 season. He's from Scottsdale.
I would love to see him play in Arizona.
Imagine
State
the Coyotes surviving their 3-year stint at Arizona State University, getting a new arena, Matthews, and being able to use him to headline that new arena.
Oh, my goodness.
They will throw every dollar they have at Austin Matthews in free agency in 3 years.
$16 million, man. $16 million.
They will max out that contract.
Yes.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Oh,
man. Why do you think they're so far below the cap floor right now? They're saving all their cap space for that offseason. It's going to be Austin Matthews and a bunch of no-name guys from some no-name league across the pond that they're going to bring over to play with them.
No, nah, they're just going to start taking on dead contracts again for draft picks and then just have a team of
they already are.
They're going to have a first line of Austin Matthews, Antoine Roussel, and Louis Erickson. So
Jesus.
Basically, yeah.
43-year-old Louis Erickson. I can't wait.
And that's still going to be one of the most most productive lines in the NHL, just off of one player alone.
So, all right, James, let me get you in on this. What do you think? Do you think that's stupid? Because I obviously think it's stupid.
I saw the tweet pretty much when you did, Ryan. I was on Twitter that day for some reason. I don't remember why. It's a stupid decision to be on Twitter that much, but I saw it, man. And I silently laughed to myself and just thought no and kept scrolling.
Okay, so I actually went and ranted on my own tweet about this. I mean, and I know that's the whole point of Sportsnet. They're trying to get people to come out and stuff like that. Yes. But I was like, I've said three names in particular that I was just like, he's nowhere close to any of these guys. Okay. Obviously, Mike Modano is the greatest American born player in the history of the NHL. Bar none, end of discussion right now. Currently, he is the best. All right. Now, the other guy, the other two names I put up there was Patrick Kane, who I put him first for a reason because I didn't want people to view me as being biased, because I think he does get there one day where he has the argument that he is the greatest American born player of all time. And so, then I also put up Joe Mullen up there too. I think all three of those guys are above Austin Matthews. And then I even forgot a defenseman. I mean, what about Phil Housley, who's third on the list in points? And you've also got Brian Leetch. And, I haven't even gotten into goalies. And it's Chelios, that's another one. I forgot someone tweeted that at me too. Chris Chelios is another one. So, I mean, he's nowhere close. Nowhere close, in my opinion. So I just think it was a stupid tweet. And Sportsnet got what they wanted out of me and me retweeting their tweet. So, but
they got you.
Yeah, they did. And even talking about it on our podcast. Oh, and then Ardell, that's a good point. Jeremy Roenick, I forgot about him too. That's another guy that I would probably put above Austin Matthews as well. So
Keith Tkachuk's up there too.
Yeah, see, there's so many names that I still think are way above Austin Matthews. Sorry. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all of your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and much, much more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. I'm trying to keep a track of the Rangers right now and see if they can gain on the Astros in the AL West. They're pretty far down right now, but I'm excited to see what they can do, and I'll be keeping my eye on that. Best of all, DraftKings Sportsbook is also safe, secure, and reliable. You can also deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use that promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Okay, enough about Austin Matthews, because he already gets talked about enough in the northern parts. So, okay, so let's get into more specific Dallas Stars stuff, okay? Like I mentioned, David Pagnotta of the fourth period, he sent out a tweet earlier yesterday, and it was talking about the Stars going after some potential top six wingers, maybe even a top six forward. So here's the tweet. As I mentioned on NHL Network earlier this hour, the Dallas Stars want to add a top six winger this summer and primarily to play with Sagan and Benn. They'll explore both the trade and free agent markets. So both of those options are available according to David Pagnotta. So that's really interesting. And my question to you guys is, who will that top six winger possibly be? And where will this winger come from? You know, via free agency or via trade? What do you guys think? What are some names that may interest you?
The name that Twitter liked was Forsberg. And
you know how much money he's going to cost, though? That's going to be a happy nightmare for Dallas. If they don't want to pay Klingberg north of $7 million for 8 years, they're really not going to want to pay Forsberg $8.5, $9 million for eight.
They may not want to pay Klingberg, but I would pay Forsberg.
You got hints coming next year, though, and you still have to pay Ottinger and Robertson. That's going to cause some headaches. Yeah, unless you're able to move on from – unless you're able to move Foxa, Hudobin, and probably another piece, then Cap gets tight with hints coming down the pipe.
You know how I feel about that Foxa contract, so.
Oh, we hate the Foxa contract. It's fine. Trust me. Everybody knows. But first off, to start off, there should be no we're getting somebody to play with Ben and Sagan. Those two need to be on separate lines. I don't like having them on the same line. It's not years ago.
Yeah. Ben should be
Ben
good
needs to
third
center
line
the third center. Line. Yeah. And Sagan can still play that second line role. A guy I like is Andre Burakovsky out of Colorado. He's not using the penalty kill. He's probably not the best power play guy, but the dude scores at even strength like nobody's business. And he's a guy that I would love to throw in the top six. You throw him on that second line on the right side of Sagan, have Gurionov on one end or something like that, and you've got a pretty solid line there.
I'm looking up right now. He's the youngest, what I call high scoring.
Yep.
Unrestricted free agent as well.
Yeah, you could give him a 7-year deal, and I would not have any issues with the contract length. He's 27 right now and expiring. He's 34 years old. I would not have any issues giving him a long-term contract this offseason.
You know me, my rule is nothing past 35. So I'm cool with 34.
Unless it's Pavelski.
Hey, so I'm sure you loved the Ryan Suter contract then, right? Plus with the
oh yeah. Don't even get me started.
You're looking at a big reason right there, one of the reasons right there why we aren't going to be able to re-sign Klingberg.
True.
So I got a couple of names that I'm really interested in. One of the names that I'm actually really interested in is where did he go? No. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Okay, Andrew Kopp. So former Winnipeg Jet, he got traded to the Rangers. And I think he wants to stay in New York, but I haven't seen anything of, you know, him re-signing with the New York Rangers. He had 21 goals, 32 assists, 53 points in 72 games this past season. And his cap hit was a $3.64 million. So with the price range that the Stars are looking at, that's well within their price range. You know, $4 to $5 million, something like that, especially if you're going on the free agent market. And he's actually 27 as well. So if you're looking at, you know, having to give him a 7-year contract to get him to come out here, you know, he'll be 34 by the time he's done. So I didn't think he was too bad. Another one that kind of stuck.
Go ahead. No, go ahead through the list and we can pick them apart.
Well, I had two more that I wanted to get to. Another one, he's a little older. Well, actually he's not that much older. I thought he was older. Is Vincent Trocheck, but he's going to cost a little more than Andrew Kopp is. So, and he can play the center or the wing. So he played both for Carolina this past year. He had 21 goals, 30 assists, 51 points in 80 games. So very similar numbers to Andrew Kopp, but he's also he's a very good two-way forward. So he can play on both sides of the puck. He can also play on your penalty kill, which hopefully gets better this year, but we'll see. I really wish we could get Andre Palat, but that's not going to happen. He's going to cost too much money. But I think the next guy that I wanted to get, if we're talking specifically unrestricted free agents, was Nino Niederreiter. So he was, again, similar numbers to both Trocheck and the Kopp. 24 goals, 20 assists, 44 points, 75 games. And he had a cap hit of $5.25 million, but I don't think he's going to make more than $5 million. Wherever he goes. I think that was a little bit of an overpayment by Carolina and with that cap hit. Uh-oh. But I like all three of those guys. Yeah. So
at least in regards to Andrew Kopp, looks like a reporter for the New York Post is saying that both him and Ryan Strom will test for the free agent market.
There you go.
And in terms of his play style and his usage, he reminds me of a slightly worse Roope Hintz. The way he's used. He's used on the power play. He's used on the penalty kill. He does very well at both of them. Very good on the PK. Can score at even strength. So I would have no issues pursuing Andrew Kopp.
He got a Selke voter too, it looks like.
He what?
But he got a Selke vote as well, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
My concern with him is this is his first year above 40 points. Which, I mean, mind you, it was a big jump. It was up to 53, but and he doesn't look like he's played a full season the past 4 years. So there are some concerns there. I think he's going to come cheaper than some of these other options, but that is something to be aware of, that he doesn't have a history of being a high-end scorer, which if we're trying to save Ben Sagan's career, and get their offensive production back. I don't know how much you really want to be hitching your horse to someone like that. Mm-hmm. I could see it happening. If we're looking for an affordable option, that may be all we're able to afford. But Kopp, I would say, wouldn't be my first choice, but I can definitely see it happening. And if it pans out and he continues to, you know, 50 points is kind of his new career average, I'm okay with that. But I think I got to look up Ben's stats, but I want to say he wasn't many years ago too far off from 50 points, and we weren't very happy with that. So I guess trying to understand what where our frame of reference is and what the expectations are would be helpful. But
I'm fine with 50 points, just not at $9.5 million.
That's the point.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
If we're paying Andrew Kopp $6 million for 50 points, I can stomach that. I can live with that.
I see what you're saying.
The lack of longevity in his production is definitely I'm not gonna say concerning, but something to pay attention to.
Yeah,
he's definitely not the sexy pick, so that means Nil's probably gonna get him.
In this case, I wouldn't be upset about that one. As long as he's not paying Claude Giroux $8 million for 8 years or something like that.
Right.
Or 7 years.
So here's the other thing though about what some Stars fans are saying, because they're afraid about this tweet, because I mean, we have a decent amount of guys who could be a good fit on that second line.
Yep.
I mean, you've got all the big three prospects, obviously. I don't see two of the three probably making the NHL. Wyatt Johnson is probably the most likely to make it. But you've still got, assuming that, Ben centers that third line. You got one of the other wings, and I mean, you've got all sorts of other players to fill those possible roles, but there are none that are slam dunks.
Let me ask you a question, Ryan. If the season started today, what does your top six look like?
Assuming Gurianov plays.
Yeah, I'm just curious to kind of see who you would have on that wing, because I agree with you.
Well, for me, obviously, the first line would be the big three, obviously. Yep. The new big three, I guess we should call them.
Right.
And then it should be, and what I hope will happen, it'll be Sagan, Johnson, and Garrett Yanoff. And that's what I think my second line would probably be. Okay. I'm hoping we re-sign Namestnikov, because I think he could be a fill-in option in case Garrett Yanoff or Johnson doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But again, there's too many questions with both Johnson and Gurianov. There's no promise that they're going to get to the 50-point mark like we need them to. Sagan will get there. I mean, I feel fairly confident in saying he can get to 20 goals, 50 points, which is probably what we need from him at this point as a second-line center. But you don't have another guy who is a complete slam dunk that you know is going to score 20 goals and that you know is going to get 50 points. So yeah. I think that's somebody that they need, and that's exactly why I pointed all three of those guys out. All three of those guys, above 50 points, above 20 goals. Yeah, so I really think that's what they're looking for.
And the other thing that points me towards us going and getting somebody instead of just letting someone else from our highly stacked prospect pool fill in is that Pavelski signed a one-year contract and took a pay cut. That kind of tells me that we're still trying to win.
They're
now.
Going for it.
Yeah, we're not trying to retool and see who's going to slot in where in the future. They're still trying to win right now, so that makes it very likely that we're going to pick someone up who can score some goals on that second line. So, Stars fans may not like it, but that's what's going to happen.
Well, and the only other guy that we haven't mentioned, and Ardell reminded me. Thank you, Ardell. He's over here in the comment section reminding me.
Yep.
I mean, Peterson is another one of those guys who is a dart, but it's not proven. And some of it is not his fault. He didn't get a ton of playing time last year, and he still was like fifth or sixth in the Stars in goal scoring.
12 goals his rookie year. That's a good building block. If he can build off of that, I'm confident in him, but I want to see it happen more than one season before I'm throwing in my top six.
I love him. He had 17 points total.
Exactly. He had 12 goals. He had 17 points. So I want to see him produce more overall. I think the goal scoring is there. He showed that the goal scoring could be there. He's just got to build on it.
My issue is that just we're in a weird spot. I would prefer if we just – once again, this kind of goes into what we were discussing on my interview, Ryan, but in my opinion, our prospect pool and the amount of youth that we have, I am cool with. It's not even a rebuild. It's more of a retool and just giving those young players a chance to come into their own and really the youth being the future of the team. But the management and the front office definitely do not want to go through that. I think you had an interview with Saad Youssef. I think he hit it nail on the head. The front office refuses to become
irrelevant.
Exactly. Really? No, 100%. And that's the risk. And so even though I think it would be in the long-term championship potential best interest for the Stars to do that and give those guys the chances and the opportunities to make an impact in the league, I think it makes more sense to, at least for the next 3 years until we can get out of And I know people are talking about buyouts, things like that, but realistically, you're dealing with Ben's cap hit in one way or another for at least the next 3 years.
Erotic Fox.
Good luck.
See, I may be on the minority of this, but I really want to keep Foxa.
Oh my goodness, I hate Foxa. You.
Is he contract for what he produces, though?
How much is he getting paid, Ryan?
I know he's only making 3.25, but it sucks.
Only?
I know, but he's not the problem. It's Ben, and then Foxa is gonna get the chopping block because Ben can't produce. That's just
only one of those contracts is movable right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's totally fair, but that's just me. Yeah. But anyways, the only other thing I wanted to mention was the fact that I was also kind of surprised that they would go after a top six forward because they've talked about with Klingberg leaving, and it's been 100%, you know, he is leaving now. I think it was Frank Saravelli who tweeted about it today.
He said he will
test the free agent market on July 13th. We need another right-handed defenseman. Let me throw a couple out there for you. And I there's a really obvious pick for me. There's three. Two have been rumored. One has been not. And well, actually, I'll do four. Let's do four. There's four defensemen that I've two that have been rumored with connection to the Stars. Two that are not. First one, obviously, is Brent Burns. He's been connected to the Stars and trade rumors
he's
a little
so
bit.
Old.
He's so old, and he's got over $8 million cap hit. You've also got Jeff Petrie, who is also a right-handed defenseman. He has a $6.25 million cap hit. And I would be okay with that one if they did 50% retention, which is the most you can do. So that would make it like $3 million. I'll take that.
Habs fans are the craziest people on the planet. They think we're giving the Maverick Bork or a first-round pick for Jeff freaking Petrie.
Some of the stuff that I see on Twitter, like, those guys are hopeful.
Like, I respect the fact that you want to have hope in your fan, hope in your team, but if Jim Nill trades Maverick Bork for Jeff Petrie, I'm going to cry into my pillow every single night for the next year. Like I will not be well. I will be mentally unhappy.
No, we won't. I won't even cry in my pillow. I'll just go grab my pitchfork and y'all can join me and we'll march our way to the American Airlines Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be right behind you.
Well, and then the other two guys I've mentioned that I'm going to mention are restricted free agents. So we would have to trade for their rights. First one is Ethan Bear, and I think he would be a decent option. He did not have a good year with Carolina. He wasn't even playing on their team in the playoffs. He was like the seventh or eighth defenseman. And then the fourth guy is a controversial figure, Tony DeAngelo. So he's another guy who is a restricted free agent. So if you had to pick one of those four guys, pick one that you want and then pick one that you think is most likely to happen. So who wants to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
All right.
Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo should be the top of the list. I understand controversy. I mean, controversy aside, the dude can flat out play hockey. From the right defensive spot, he's a guy you plug into your top pair on day one. Watching a pair with him, and if we can move Haskinen back to the left side, having those two guys together would be absolutely filthy from an offensive from an offense perspective. Defensively, he's let me check. Defensively, he's not atrocious either. But you got Haskinen playing with you. I think that a lot of, because defensively he's not phenomenal, but you got Haskinen with him. But I think a lot of the stuff that went on with him in New York, I think that there's some of the stuff that came out was true about this. I mean, he obviously punched his goalie and all that kind of stuff. That's not a good look, but I think a lot of the stuff that happened with him was a bit overblown by fans, by the media, by everything. I think you kind of have to take a little bit of it with a grain of salt. Obviously it's not a fantastic look, but he's been quiet for the last, you know, year and a half. He had a good year in Carolina, no issues. I mean, I live out here, didn't hear anything bad about him out here. Canes fans were upset about it when he was signed, but really came around to love him once the season began. So I have no issues with the Stars going after D'Angelo. He would be a good short and long-term solution on the right side of their blue line. And
he's still pretty young.
Exactly. He's 20. I think he's 26 right now. So you could sign him to a 5, 6, 7 year contract, and I wouldn't bat an eye at it. Who I think is most realistic that we get, I think Neil does something stupid against Jeff Petrie. I really do. I really do. I'm hoping and praying that he gives up no more than a second round pick and is able to get retention. He won't do it because the Habs won't accept it, but I just have this terrible feeling in my stomach that Jeff Petrie is going to be in Dallas by the start of the year.
Chris.
Okay, I'm just going to give my most likely. I think it's going to be Brent Burns. I think they're just going to be
He
played with Pavelski. It's going to be just like the Sharks.
He's got a ranch in Texas somewhere, too. So
that's what I was going to say. He has some connection to Texas, too. So
I think he played on the board as well.
Yeah,
in San Jose.
And he's a big guy. And I'm old hockey.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, old hockey Neil's going to say Haskinen needs a big guy to help him. So I think that's the most likely.
I will say, if we're getting both for the same price, if Montreal and San Jose are retaining both and we're only paying $5 million for Burns or $5 million for Petrie, give me Burns. I don't care if he's older. I'd rather have Burns for 3 years than Petrie for 3 years. Okay. They're both old. We're paying both of them the same amount. I mean,
You're asking me whether I'd get shot in the foot or shot in the leg here.
Exactly. It's a pick your poison kind of thing. I mean, it hurts. But Ardell makes a good point. I mean, we don't have size. I mean, we got bullied. We got bullied against Calgary. Hakanpaa's a big guy, but at times he didn't really play like it. So I think Burns would be at least provide size and it would make me hate my life a little bit less. But oh man, just both those guys are not. Just don't do it, please.
Calgary Studley has size. Never mind. We don't need to talk about reloop the playoffs. But I think we got bullied by Calgary for different reasons than size, personally. But
yeah.
Oh, we did. But
they shot a lot.
For me, I think
Ottinger got bullied by Calgary. All right.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he got bullied. I think he bullied the Calgary Flames.
The rest of the team just kind of took it.
I would say most likely. I agree. I think Petrie is the most likely. It's no longer seeing smoke. You see a fire. I think it's most likely, especially now that Klingberg is gone. I think it's just a matter of Neil trying to get the best deal he can. I think Petrie is going to be a Dallas Star, as much as it pains me to say. It's two defenseman contracts I'm not happy about. It's going to be Suter and Petrie. It's going to be the old folks home. But, you know, toss them on a pair together. Let Haskinen play with Lindell, I guess. Another two lefties. I really don't care. But
if I did all this draft research for Dallas and they trade away their pick for Jeff Petrie, I might actually go fight somebody. It's going to make me depressed. I will be depression.
Who would I want, though? To Josh's point, On a skill-based level, Tony D'Angelo is the way to go. It's just a matter of, I'm not going to lie, I don't know all the details of Tony D'Angelo. I remember whenever he signed, I literally had to message the group, and I was like, so what all did he actually do? I don't know all the details. I know he's not apparently the best person in the world, but the league has already decided he's going to play, and the Stars have signed Sean Avery before.
Hey, the Stars have signed. Don't talk bad about Sean Avery. Dude's an angel.
I'll talk bad about Sean Avery.
Saint Avery.
the Stars. I mean, my point being, let's not pretend the Stars have only signed Saints.
Right.
Yep.
So if he's going to help us win and we're going for a cup, would I rather? I like Ethan Bear too. I think Ethan Bear, is criminally underrated.
Yes.
But I would say he's my second for guys I prefer. I'd be okay with both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tony D'Angelo, I think, is just going to be cheaper because teams are afraid of the publicity.
Think of the content on our page, though, if he signs with Dallas. Oh, my gosh. It'd be so much fun.
I'm
going to go read through comments and everything like
Dude,
that.
Ooh, imagine how much trolling I'll be able to do this next year. It's going to be fantastic.
Getting chills just thinking about it. It'd be so much fun. You know I love stirring the pot a little bit. I'd have too much fun with that one.
All right, James, your turn. What do you think? What do you want and who's most likely?
I've told you this time over and time again, Ryan. I've tweeted it. I don't really care who we get as long as Miro gets to play on his strong side next season. Yeah. I don't want Miro to get stuck back on the right side again. That would suck.
So the thing with – I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think we need two right defensemen for that one to happen, though, if I had to guess. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Let's just play Hamley on the right side. It'll be fine.
Okay. There you go. Fair enough.
Joe Hamley, top two defensemen.
Yep. Let's do it.
Pair him with Haskin and see what happens.
Well, okay. So here's my thing is who's most likely? I think it'll be Jeff Petrie. I do. Because I don't think – I know Sam's like –
You're not making me feel better about this. I was hoping you'd talk me off the ledge.
I know. I'm sorry. But and maybe I'm being more optimistic than some of you guys because y'all are all meh. But who do I want? I would want Tony D'Angelo, but I don't think it's likely that we trade for him. And then same thing with Ethan Bear. I don't think it's likely we trade for him either. So here's my thinking. I think Jeff Petrie is the best fit. That's just what I think. And the thing is that with Tony D'Angelo, he's more offensively inclined, right? Mm-hmm. What I really think is I think we need another older guy who can play with Miro, who can unlock the potential that Miro has. We haven't seen Miro, you know, beast mode Miro. We haven't seen it yet. We saw it for glimpses his rookie season, and that was about it. Since then, he's been told defense. And that can be Jeff Petrie's role. That's what Jeff Petrie can do. And then Miro can go, offense. And that's what we need him to do. So I know that I don't know. That's just my thought process. And I think that Jeff Petrie is the best fit. I know he's old. I know his cap hit. But if we can get it for under, like, you know, I'd say around 4.5, I would be really, really excited about that. That's my opinion. If we trade for his full contract, I'll be pissed because I'd rather just pay Klingberg $8 million rather than spend 6.25 for Jeff Petrie, yep, who's 34 years old. That's me.
If you're paying 6.25 for Petrie, shell out the extra million and pay Klingberg. I mean, pay him till he's 37, whatever. I wouldn't do it, but, you know. And reports out of Montreal is that Kent Hughes does not want to retain salary on Petrie. So.
Well, no, screw no. Kent Hughes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
whether he wants to or not, it may change. But just reading some reports, doesn't sound like he wants to retain any kind of salary.
I guess my biggest issue with Petrie is he went from 42 points to 27 points this year. Josh knows 35 is the kiss of death with hockey players, forwards and defensemen. I mean,
exemption is Joe Pavelski.
Yes, you get a unicorn, but in general, the aging curve goes like this. You start seeing decline right around 25, declines, and then 25 is a drop off.
35?
Sorry, yes, 35. It's
25 is an issue.
Big issue.
And then, 25 is generally the modern day peak. It used to be around 27, but as players are getting in the league earlier, 25 is generally considered the peak now. And then you hit the aging curve. And he went from 42 points to 27 this past year, which to me is a big red flag. He's already approaching that massive drop off of 35. So
I know, but at the same time, he played on the team that's getting the first overall pick tomorrow. And he also played for a really crappy coach at the beginning of the season, Dominic Ducharme. I mean, and when Martin St. Louis came in, he played a lot better. So I really think he could be a good top two fill in with Klingberg going to free agency. But okay, it's getting late here, guys, and it's already past midnight for Josh. So let's just go ahead and move on.
I'm wide awake. Don't worry about me. We're chilling.
He's just like, I'm used to it. I'm not that old yet.
I'll just sleep at work tomorrow. I'm fine.
I keep saying that to myself all the time. I was like, I'm not old yet. Okay, so let's get into what we originally brought Josh and Sam on here for, because they're a lot more well-versed in the NHL draft than it comes to me, Chris, or James. So first question I want to ask you guys is, there's this big thing about who's going to go number one overall. It seemed like Shane Wright was going to be the number one overall pick for, you know, almost 3 years now, since he was granted exceptional status and was allowed to come into the OHL early. But now there's this kid named Yurov Slavkovsky, who I believe is playing in Slovakia right now. Mm-hmm. And there have been, it's just in this past week, there have been more people putting him first overall rather than Shane Wright. And I just want to get y'all's thoughts about what you think. Who's going to go first overall tomorrow evening when we're doing that live stream?
You can go first. I'm very opinionated, so I'd rather get the more objective one.
Hot take here. Who will go first? Shane Wright. Who should go first? Logan Cooley.
Real? Yeah. Oh, okay. I wasn't I thought Cooley was a kind of a.
He'll go three to Arizona. It'll be Wright, Slavkovsky, and then Cooley. But I like Cooley better than the other two.
Wait, just get Josh kind of stole my thunder over here, but yeah.
I let you. I gave you the option first.
That's true. Shane Wright's going to go first. I'm about 95% certain of that. Slavkovsky made a late season push. I'm not a fan of Slavkovsky, if I'm being completely honest with you. I have him on my personal board. I think he ended up right at. He is. There's someone like this every draft where they're a big guy, they skate capably, and they're going to go high. A couple years ago, it was Kirby Dach. Then it was Michael Rasmussen. The Gabe Vilardi is another one. It's all these big guys who everyone is like, oh, what could they be? They could be the next Malkin. And
none of those guys have really panned out all that well.
No,
if you I was mean, really wrong.
Maybe Vilardi. Vilardi's been pretty decent. But especially Kirby Dach has not been very good.
Byfield was the one I'm trying to think of the year before.
Oh, Byfield, so, yeah. He's another one that's kind of – I wouldn't say he's a bust yet because he's still young, but
yeah. Oh, yeah, no. He's definitely not a bust. He's got time. It's just a matter of – I am just kind of burnt out on the, oh, they're 6'5", and they can skate at a slightly above average level, but the rest of their toolkit is average at best. So for me, Slavkovsky is not – like I said, he's still in my top 10 because, sure, is there a chance? Possibly, but yeah. I have quite a few guys who I like significantly more. Shane Wright, I'm in agreement with Josh that I like the dynamic gameplay that Cooley presents. Shane Wright is much more – he's very similar to Alexis Lafreniere from a couple years ago, where he is a very cerebral thinker. He has an upper gear that he can utilize, but you don't always see it, which concerns me. Whenever I watched him, I honestly felt like I was watching Alexis Lafreniere over again. So I have some concerns. I think he has some of the highest potential. I just, for what they are right now and what I think they can be, for me, Cooley is, I consider him the safer pick even. I think his upside is just as high. And I think he presents a more energetic game. And to me, that's more projectable than saying oh, I think he's just not challenged enough, so he doesn't need to try hard the entire time. To me, that's more of a concern. So Shane Wright should go first. I think he will go first. Slafkovský is the latest shiny toy that the national media just loves to hype up because he's 6'5 and can skate. But
I will say, if Montreal does kind of surprise me and go with Slafkovský at number one, I think there's a very real shot that Shane Wright falls to Arizona at three. I don't see New Jersey taking a center. Mm-hmm. They have good center depth. I mean, if I'm New Jersey and Shane Wright is still on the board at two, I'm trading out of that pick. I'm getting an absolute haul for somebody that is in love with Shane Wright to come up and take that pick from me. I will trade down with Columbus at six and take their other first round pick or something like that. Like, I'm not, I don't see Cooley. I don't see Wright going to. If they stay at number two, it's going to be real interesting to see who New Jersey goes with. I think you could see one of the defensemen sneak up in the number two spot if Slafkovský makes it up to, if he goes number one in Montreal.
It would be interesting because the Canadians mm-hmm. have shown that they are, sorry. Yeah, it is Montreal who took, didn't they take Kotkaniemi not too many years ago?
Yep.
Yeah, he's now in Carolina.
They'll go off the board for a guy they really mm-hmm. like. So if they love Slafkovský, then he's going number one. But
yeah,
whenever someone is a consensus number one, as long as Wright has been, it's just the social pressure is very difficult for them to say, oh, never mind, we're going to go with someone else. So
right. Yeah. Especially in Montreal, too. I mean, you got that home crowd of, if you don't pick Shane Wright, I think you may have some people really kind of scratching their heads in the crowd.
Yeah, yep. Agreed.
So,
well, Chris and James, let me ask you guys this just as a philosophical question, because an argument between a lot of people are, do you draft based off of what your organization needs, your team needs? Or do you just take the best player that's available regardless of what you actually need?
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
I was literally about to ask that question. But the answer that is obvious in my brain is you just pick the best guy. And if you don't need him, then you move other pieces around. But I am not the expert on that. So
James,
I'll pass that to Josh and Sam.
James,
what do you think about that? Would you rather just take the best player available, or do you draft based off of what you think the team needs?
I mean, I think you do based off of what the team needs, honestly. I mean, earlier in the draft, you probably pick the better players. So, like, you're talking your first and second rounders. You're probably picking the best player that you can get. But after that, I feel like you should really just be picking more for what your organization needs.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair too. I agree with you. I really don't think there's a wrong answer.
I think it's a marriage of both.
Yeah, it's just a philosophical, you know, I mean, I guess you could go and, you know, look historically. Well, these teams have won more Stanley Cups and this is how they drafted. And that would take forever and forever. But I mean, the thing is it just depends on the organization and what the scouts believe and what the GM believes. So if it was me, I would just take the best player available regardless of, you know, what I want, what I think I need. Specifically for the Stars, I think their biggest draft need right now is obviously their defensive depth, and their goaltending depth at the prospect level are much lower than their forwards. And I think that's pretty obvious, considering we've seen the big three kind of pop up in the junior leagues up there. But Josh and Sam, let me ask you guys what you think will happen with the Stars' first overall pick. Their first overall pick. Their first round pick.
They get the first overall pick. I'm real curious to see who they give up for.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. We'd probably be trading Jason Robertson and Jay Cottinger for that first overall pick. But I believe we have the 18th overall pick. Is that correct?
Yep.
So, so realistically, who do you think the Stars – fans, the Stars media could be seeing as their first round pick for 2022, like realistically?
Well, to quickly touch on the whole need versus best player available thing, I think if in the first round, I think like 98% of the time you go best player available. I think the New Jersey Devils are a good example of a time you don't, because they have two very young players in Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes down the middle already. If you draft Shane Wright or Logan Cooley, one of those guys is playing third line minutes at this point because they're just true centers. That's like the one circumstance where it's like, all right, it may make sense to go with somebody that could impact us, you know, in other positions. Anyway, sorry, tangent. I just had to get it off my chest.
That's okay.
Sam, any thoughts on 18? I'll let you kind of take the first shot of that one.
And just bouncing off yours, people also have to, before we get into the Stars pick, people also have to realize that the NHL, they're drafting at 18. Like, think of the NFL draft, how much older those players are. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I take best available.
Yeah.
Once you get to the later rounds, yep, where the success rate is almost no different between a fourth round pick, fifth round pick, sixth round pick, seventh round pick, you take need, like, just try to balance out your prospect pool. But in the first round, I take best player available.
Yep.
And who would I want the Stars to take? Ardell kind of hit the nail on the head. My favorite player, who I think is going to fall significantly this year, I'm kicking him around between 4 and 5 on my personal board, but I've seen him anywhere from 25 out of the first round. Brad Lambert, the dude, dynamic skater, great hands, can work on his playmaking a little bit. He has a pretty good shot. He's just absolutely dynamic from start to finish. I think he's going to be a lot like Achiratti from this past draft, where he just wasn't on a good team. We always talk about Klingberg not unlocking his potential. The team he was on at the start of the year versus the team he was on at the end of the year massively changed his just how he played the game. And I think he's going to fall significantly for it. The talk around him is that he significantly underperformed this year, while at the start of the year he was considered a top 5 pick. So if he falls, like, I think it's a high likelihood that he will. I don't know if he's going to fall all the way to 18 because he is such a dynamic player and skater. But if he does, I would be ecstatic if the Stars take a swing. Again, I shoot for upside. All of my picks are based off of upside. I would be ecstatic if you take Brad Lambert. Another guy I think is more likely to be available in our range. Josh, I'm going to let you talk about Matichuk. But
I like Matichuk.
Frank Nasser is kind of at the top of my wish list. I think he's a smaller guy. He's a 5'10 center and wing, but he's a fantastic puck carrier. I think eventually, if we need him on the wings, we can toss him out there. But he's extremely, extremely capable of carrying the puck up on his own. And just his shooting is fantastic. He puts up points. Defensively, he's just a pest. It was funny. I was messaging Josh about a defensive prospect today. And I was just like, dude, Frank Nasser is all over the defensive zone. He, for someone who's only 5'10", like, yes, I realize he's going to have physical limitations in terms of what he can do defensively. But he was all over the place. I really like what I saw out of Frank Nasser, and he's someone who I see consistently projected around 15 to 20. If he's available, I would be skipping to the podium as well for him as well. But Josh, I'll let you go ahead and take some of the other ones.
I don't mind Lambert. I'm not as high on Lambert as you are. Fair. I mean, haven't been able to watch a ton on him, but just kind of doing some of the tracking on from Will Scouch, who does a lot of, you know, he does a lot of the overseas, watches a lot of overseas players and everything like that. He's bottom left quadrant in most offensive categories. And I understand he's playing on a bad team and everything like that, but his offense is really kind of lacking this year. Really kind of fell off, and defensively he's not phenomenal. His transition numbers look pretty solid, and I'm curious to see what he looks like if he's playing on a better team. But he has the individual tools. He has the skating. He can pass. He can shoot. It's things weren't entirely clicking for him at all times this year, and I had my concerns there. I like him, and I wouldn't be upset if we drafted him. He's not on my, you know, stay away from list or anything like that. But like I said, I'm not quite as high on him. I do agree he does fall. And I think, honestly, I think 18 is about 18 to 20 is about where I see him going. Right. Yeah. At the Stars pick, I think that's about where I could see him getting picked anyway. So I wouldn't hate the pick. Sam touched on one of my favorite prospects for Dallas, and that's Denton Matichuk. The dude is his motor is unbelievable. I mean, the dude plays aggressive in both the offensive and defensive end to a fault. I mean, he'll be over aggressive. He can make some pretty poor passes, some pretty poor decisions, but you get him in the offensive end. I mean, the dude will be behind the net and at the blue line inside of about a second and a half. The dude is always skating. Drives opposing defenses insane. He's involved in the play both in the defensive end, the offensive end, and in the neutral zone. His transition game's solid. He can pass. He can shoot. Matichuk's Canadian, so he doesn't have that Russian factor. Pavel Minchukov is the Russian that is kind of talked about in tandem with him. I think Minchukov is going to go before him. I think Minchukov is probably going to be 11, 12, 13. I don't think Matichuk gets to us at 18, but if he's there, I would love to see him play. He's a left defenseman, so but he's played predominantly on the right side the last two or three years, so he has experience playing on the right side of the blue line. And again, like Sam said earlier, though, I think you go best player available, not necessarily need at that point, but I think that he ticks both those boxes there. Another guy that both me and Sam like, and somebody that should not be on the board at 18, but is because of his size, is Lane Hutson. Lane Hutson is another one, 5'8", I think he's 160 pounds. If he's 2 inches taller, he is likely the first left defenseman off the board. You're talking about him as a fringe top five, a fringe top eight pick.
If he's 3 inches taller, I'm considering him with number one. So like, that's how much I like him. So.
He's Cale Makar, but shorter. I mean, that's really the comparison I have for him right now. Am I saying he's going to be Cale Makar? No, but the play style is very identical to what Makar is doing in Colorado. And if you listen to reports that have come out, Sam didn't know about this. I didn't know about this. His endocrinologist, which is apparently a bone doctor, said that his bone age, which is apparently how fast you grow, his that age is actually delayed behind his biological age, meaning he still has another year or two of growth in him before he is quote unquote fully grown. And if that's the case, you're getting a 5'10", 5'11" defenseman by the time he gets to the NHL, and you're getting a guy that plays a very similar style of Cale Makar, can shoot, can pass, can score, all that stuff. I mean, that's at 18. He's like, honestly, I think he's likely to fall to the back end of the first round because of his size.
He's going second round. He'll go second round.
Unreal. Whoever gets him in the second round at the end of the first round is getting a steal at that point.
I think he could very potentially be another case, just like DeBrincat was, where he's going to fall into the second round, and then people are going to ask, "Oh, why do people pass him?" And it's like, because he was 5'8" and a defenseman. And those people just don't work in the NHL. Ardell, it was funny. You mentioned Honka in the chat. Whenever
Sam made that comparison earlier.
Matichuk, I enjoy watching him, but there's a couple of clips from when Honka was in the AHL where he was just dancing around people. And for the longest time, I was a big fan of Honka, actually. He was one of the first players I got into scouting, and he was one of the first people I saw. Very similar play style. And my concerns with Matichuk, Josh likes Matichuk more than I do personally. And he's dynamic right now. It's just a matter of, I don't know if he's going to be able to do what he does at such a high level at the next level, because he doesn't have, in my opinion, an elite top end gear. He's shifty and he's quick, but he's not fast. And so getting around defenders like he does, I think he's going to struggle at the next level. But again, these kids are 18. You're drafting based off of potential, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's better to shoot high and miss than not shoot at all, I guess, is how right. I look at it. So,
if you're looking for an exciting prospect exciting offensive prospect that doesn't really play a lick of defense, Isaac Howard's your guy. And I love Isaac Howard. All the dude does is score. He can't play defense to save his life. But the dude scores in bunches. He's a play. I mean, he can do it all on the offensive end. I think his offensive mind is one of the best in the draft. From a scoring and from a playmaking perspective, I love Isaac Howard. He can actually skates pretty well too. He's not one of these Arthur Kaliyevs that I absolutely love that can shoot it from anywhere on the ice but may have issues skating. Like, he can skate, he can score, he can pass. He's a great playmaker. Just don't expect him to play any kind of defense whatsoever. He's a Leon Draisaitl type player. I mean, if he can put up at some point in his career, if he can put up 65 to 70 points a season, I got no issues if he doesn't play defense. I could not care less at that point. Like, if we draft Isaac Howard, I will worry about defense at a later point in time. But I'm just looking at the offense that he could bring to the table, and I would love it. And he plays on the wings too. So you get a winger for Johnston or for Bork or for – I think Stakehoven will move to the wing as well when he gets to the NHL level. But you get him on the wing for Hintz, Johnston, Bork, somebody like that, and just let him shoot or let him pass. And, oh, my Lord.
Let him pass. His passing is
unreal.
Someone mentioned Gurionov, but he's definitely a passer. And
yeah.
He can score, but his passing is what I really
He's not the sniper. He can score, but he's not picking his corners from the top of the circle or anything like that. But yeah. You let him start playmaking in the zone for put him along with Robertson or Hintz or somebody. Oh, that's every hockey play. That's every hockey fan's dream.
So let me ask you guys about this, because I don't think this is outside the realm of possibility with the fact that they could trade the 18th overall pick.
Okay? Don't do that to me. I'm happy.
I know we're just doing all the time talking about it. But here's the thing that gets me excited about it, though, is because Nil has done it before.
Yeah.
He did it literally just last year, I believe. He traded, what was it? It was a 15th overall pick. In 2021, he traded to Detroit, and he got the 23rd pick, the 48th pick, and the 138th pick. So he turned one into three. Here's the three picks that we got out of that. Jack Barr, he's been okay. He's developing, but he's, you know, maybe AHL. Artem Grishnikov, who we've heard a lot about being really, really good.
I like him.
And Wyatt Johnston.
Yep.
So we traded the 15th overall pick, and we got three. We got an extra guy, in my opinion, who could possibly make the NHL, and Grishnikov. Plus, we got a number one, you know, top three guy possibly in Wyatt Johnston. And we went down, what, how many is that? Seven spots down? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we could see something like that, and it could be to the Stars' benefit. Now, I thought this was hilarious because I pointed this out. I was looking through the prospects. There is literally in this prospect pool a Elias Pettersson who plays defense.
By name, Elias Pettersson. Yes.
And there's another, and get this, there's another Jack Hughes.
Yep.
There's another Jack Hughes.
If he doesn't go to New Jersey, that's a crime.
He has to go to New Jersey. Like, yeah. He has to go to New Jersey. Yep. That's where he has to go. But, anyways, the draft picks that the Stars have for this 2022 NHL draft, you can watch it on ESPN Plus, or you can even listen to it on the Ticket. I believe Owen and Bruce are going to be on the call there. But the Stars have the 18th overall pick in the first round, 50th in the second, 83rd in the third, 115th in the fourth, 147th in the fifth, and 179th in the sixth. So the only pick they don't have in this draft is the seventh round pick. So, and I believe that's the pick that they traded to Buffalo to get rid of Ben Bishop's contract. Yep. So hopefully maybe we'll see more than six if we trade down, but we'll see what the Stars do at the 2022 NHL draft tomorrow. I do want to let you guys know as we're wrapping it up here, Josh is going to be doing a live stream that Sam and I will both be joining. So that's going to be on his Twitch channel. I'll make sure to kind of put out the information to where you could watch that. And we'll start like what, 5-10 minutes before Josh?
Yeah, draft is at 7 o'clock. So it'll be 6 o'clock central. It'll be 7 o'clock Eastern. I'm probably going to hop online about a quarter till and probably get things rolling 5-10 till the draft, talk a little bit kind of about what's going on with the draft. And then we'll go through pick by pick and give, you know, short, quick analysis on one, whether we like the pick for the team, what we think of the player, things like that. And we'll also be doing, you know, as the night goes on, we'll be doing, you know, live Q&A. So if you guys have any questions or anything like that, feel free to hop in, ask them. Myself, Ryan, and Sam will do whatever we can to, you know, answer those questions for you and just kind of hang out. I mean, it's supposed to be fun. Obviously, for copyright reasons, I won't be showing the draft. It'll just be us three kind of reacting to it. So you will have to watch it on another device, but I will have it pulled up on my second monitor and we'll just kind of hang out and go through it pick by pick. So,
yep,
it'll be a blast.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah,
and to reference your trading portion for the Stars, if they trade down in the first round, totally fine with that. My issue is them trading away the pick altogether.
I feel like trading down is normally like an indication that that GM doesn't feel like this draft class is as strong. Is that kind of an accurate statement? So you're trying to get more chances instead of going for one specific guy?
Yeah. The more quantity you have, the better shot you have at hitting on somebody at that point. If it's not a particularly strong draft class, you load up on picks and pray that you hit on one of them or two of them or however many of them. But, I mean, heck, if the Stars were to trade from 18 to 25 and pick up Lane Hudson, for example, and pick up extra picks in the process, oh, I think me and Sam would fly to Dallas and kiss Jim Neal. But
I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I have 14 players who I think can potentially be top pairing people or first line players. Again, will all of them reach that potential? Absolutely not. I don't expect them to. But in terms of talent wise, I could see it happening someday. So if those people are still on the board and we drop down completely, to Josh's point, I would not enjoy that. But at the same time, I know, for example, Lane Hudson. He's one of them. In some universe, he meets his potential. He grows 2 extra inches, and he's exceptional and one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. So I'm okay with trading down. I wouldn't be too broken up about it. I know he's going to be probably available in the second round anyway. So trading down to me is hardly ever a bad move. I normally don't like trading up. It worked out for Ottinger, but statistically,
Ottinger.
I think that's the only time we've done it.
That's the only time we've done it.
Yeah, that's the only time Neil has actually traded up.
Exactly.
And I caught Sam with the receipts on saying it was a bad move when it happened. But hey, it's okay. I'm not holding to it.
Now you're seeing the praises of Jake Ottinger, right? Yeah. So you're looking up for it. You're good.
I can do whenever a player is good, and it was just a bad. I don't even think it was a bad pick. I would have flopped Jason Robertson and Ottinger personally, but I don't know if Ottinger would have been there. So
he wouldn't have.
It all worked out. Robertson was top of my list at the time we took Ottinger. So yeah. I can hold that over Josh's head too. We still would have gotten Hiskanen and Robertson with my board. So I don't scout goalies because goalies are voodoo anyway. So
it's okay. You just let me scout goalies. I'll tell you who's good.
Well, I think that's it, guys. Josh, Sam, thank you guys for coming on and specifically talking to us about the draft. That's a lot of good things that, you know, I didn't know about, haven't had the time to do the draft stuff like you guys have. So thank y'all for doing that.
I wasn't paying attention to it at all, and now I'm crazy excited for the draft. So I'm so happy we did this podcast. That's great.
It's going to be a good time.
I'm listening to it now. So,
well, I think that's going to do it for us here tonight, you guys. We thank you guys for listening along, whether you're listening on the podcast side, watching on YouTube, you know, morning, afternoon, evening. Hopefully you're listening to this before the drafts and you don't already know who the Stars have selected. We'll know in less than 24 hours here, guys, who the next Dallas Stars first round pick is going to be. That's really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it. So once again, if you want to check out us doing a watch along, I guess we could call it, on Josh's channel, that'll be just before 6 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Eastern on the, and then obviously 4 o'clock on the West Coast, if for those of you who are some of our California listeners, which we do have California listeners, believe it or not.
That handle in my name right there, that's my Twitter handle. If you want to follow that, I will be posting there when I go live tomorrow. So you'll be able to kind of keep up with that there. I'll be posting there and on a couple other outlets as well. But Twitter is probably the best way to follow me. So.
Yep. And I think we're going to save the who cares segment for another day, guys, because it's already getting pretty late. No, that's good. No.
I rambled on a little bit.
I would much rather be talking about that stuff than we would about what we were going to do, because now it's not as interesting now that we talked about the draft. So
exactly.
And on a good note.
Who cares, literally.
So, make sure you follow Sam on Twitter at @S_Morales77. You can follow Josh at @J_Sanders. The E is in a number 3 in his handle. Go follow them on Twitter. They post a bunch of cool stuff. And they're really big Stars fans. And we love having them come on the show. And I think that's going to do it for us here tonight. Please go and just take a look at the draft tomorrow, and we'll see what we get. Thanks again to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor and sponsoring the episode, the podcast, and the entirety of THPN. And also follow us on social media. Please click like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, leave us a review. Let us know what you thought about this podcast and, you know, why you think Chris is an absolute idiot and why his opinions are always wrong. And he's giving a thumbs up for those of you who are listening on the podcast side. But along with Chris, Josh, James, Sam, my name is Ryan. This has been Starcastic and Mark's. We will catch you guys on the flip side. We hope you guys have a good afternoon, morning, whenever you're listening. See you guys later. Peace.